Exterminate Company is delivered by TriStar Moving on this Tuesday. Mark Howard is with us. And again, big news, Jeremy Pruitt out. Tennessee investigation in. Philip Fulmer will retire, but not immediately. Philip Fulmer will have to they'll hire an AD, and then Philip Fulmer will retire. Now, I don't know about you, Mark, but I found that to be a little odd yesterday when Fulmer decided to retire and said, well, you know, we got the coach here. We got, you know, a new AD needs to come in with a new coach. And I'm not sure how much I made of that, other than maybe it felt like Fulmer was being thrown under the bus a little bit, but they went out of their way, both Don DePlowman and Randy Boyd, the chancellor and president, to not throw Philip Fulmer under the bus publicly. But it kind of felt like, it kind of feels like Fulmer's going out with Pruitt.
Oh, I don't think there's any question. It doesn't do the Tennessee administration any good to throw Fulmer under the bus, because they're not sure yet, you know, exactly everything that happened. And I've texted two people who have intimate knowledge of the Tennessee football program, and they both say that they don't believe the whole McDonald's money in the bag, but that's beside the point. But as far as Fulmer is concerned, let the public judge him. They don't need Tennessee crapping on him, because it only hurts the school if they do that. You know, you're talking about a guy who's still got a pretty high profile there, whose face is still all over the campus. And it just, like I said, bad for business for them to trash Fulmer. I think they'll leave it to the media. I think John Adams has a pretty dim view of Fulmer, to say the least. And they'll let those people decide.
And that's exactly where I'm going, because yesterday when I went over to the Knoxville News Sentinel, and John Adams is going to join us in 25 minutes, he had about a 99-mile-an-hour heater for Philip Fulmer. The headline, Adams, UT should be rid of Fulmer for good. John Adams writes, now let's turn our attention to the man who made the Jeremy Pruitt era possible, Philip Fulmer. Adams writes, Fulmer will retire as Tennessee's athletics director after UT hires an AD to replace him. His own hiring is worth revisiting. He was hired as an athletic director in December of 2017 under the strangest of circumstances. Then athletic director John Curry was in the process of hiring a coach to replace Butch Jones, and the process wasn't going well. He continues on the story about what happened with Fulmer. He says, quote, Fulmer had a history with John Curry, who was an assistant AD to Mike Hamilton when Fulmer was fired as football coach in 2008. In February of 2017, Curry beat out Fulmer for the athletic director job, but his victory was only temporary. I'm sure if Curry had it to do over again, he would have had a clause in his contract that read, quote, Philip Fulmer will never be allowed on campus while I'm the athletics director. John Adams continued talking about Philip Fulmer and everything that he did and said, quote, Fulmer wasn't linked to NCAA violations. Other than that, you could say he was as bad at his job as Pruitt was at his. I'm sure UT athletic staff members could tell horror stories about Fulmer's administrative shortcomings. He couldn't even act like an AD and was more interested in masquerading as a football coach on the practice field than running the athletic department. Nonetheless, he paid enough attention to the fiscal issues to negotiate a raise and contract extension for himself. Now, UT likely will give him more money as he departs. I assume his goodbye package will include a coaching jacket, a wide-brimmed hat, and a whistle. But it shouldn't include a practice field pass. Adam sums it up by saying, quote, he's done enough damage and taken enough of UT's money. He no longer should be allowed anywhere near the football program. Mark, what do you think of that?
I agree with most of that. And I say that sadly, because I really like Coach Fulmer. And like I said, I've known him for a long time. But in a lot of aspects of that, John is not wrong.
just remember how Fulmer got his job. Just remember how Johnny Majors remembered Philip Fulmer.
Well,
I mean,
I will defend Philip Fulmer on that one. I will. And we can go back because I covered that. I was there. I know what the deal was.
It's on YouTube. Mark Howard at the
well,
Philip
not so much
Fulmer.
It was on YouTube. But at the, real quick, Jared. Tennessee had the choice of keeping Johnny Majors, who had some health issues, or losing Philip Fulmer to Clemson. And he was going to go to Clemson. And they decided to make the change. And it was messy. There's no question about it. And it was Doug Dickey. And, yeah, Fulmer was complicit to a certain degree because they offered him, you know, that was his dream job. I mean, Tennessee was his absolute dream job. And you can't say it was a bad hire. I mean, he won a national championship. He had a pretty good run there. So I will maintain that as much as I like Coach Majors, and I did, I really, really like Coach Majors. But that was messy, but it did have to happen.
I would just say the one thing that I've taken away from Fulmer, and I don't know Fulmer as well as you. I mean, I know him well enough. He launched his athletic director campaign with Floyd and I at the College Football Awards when they had us out there doing the show, and we were supposed to have on all these coaches, and they were like, oh, we got to figure something. They brought Fulmer on, and Floyd and Fulmer cracked up telling old stories, and then I asked about the athletic director position, and next thing you know, it's all over the paper about Fulmer wanting to be the Tennessee athletic director. And I just kind of always felt like Vol fans believe that Fulmer – that nobody loved the Vols more than Philip Fulmer. And not that I don't think Fulmer doesn't love the Vols, because I do think he loves the Vols. I just always felt like nobody loved Philip Fulmer more than Philip Fulmer. And that was always the vibe I got. I had an athletic director tell me, who had a job come open one time, a couple years after Fulmer had been let go at Tennessee. And Fulmer called him and said, and this was like a mediocre job. And Fulmer called him and said, this would be my dream job. And the athletic director told me, so I'm on the phone with a guy who won a national championship at Tennessee and who played at Tennessee, and he's telling me that my mediocre job would be his dream job. And I always felt like the John Curry thing and the athletic director thing with Fulmer was like, well, I can't make myself the coach, or I can't, they wouldn't hire me to be coach again. So what's the second best thing to being coach? And it was athletic director. And I do think Fulmer ran a coup and basically took the position away from John Curry, even though he wasn't the only one running the coup and he wasn't the one responsible for it actually working. But I completely agree with John Adams. It's time for Fulmer to go. He wasn't a good athletic director. His football coach bombed. He screwed up the women's basketball hire. He got played by UCLA for Rick Barnes. Like, I should say he got played by Rick Barnes with UCLA in order to give him, you know, top of the market money, which maybe Barnes would have gotten no matter who the AD was. But, like, it's time for him to go. And I'm not sure Fulmer has anything left to give Tennessee. I know he loves Tennessee. And if he wants to sit up in the box and root him on, yes. But I'm with John Adams. Fulmer's got to go. Enough is enough. They need a real athletic director who knows how to run an athletic department, who can run the other sports, who, you know, isn't essentially the general manager of the football program. What, just like I like Jeff Fisher, I don't need him on the field telling Mike Vrabel what to do. Like, that's where I am with Fulmer right now.
I would agree.
The question has to be, do you think Fulmer can do that? Or do you think that we'll see Fulmer marching around some point? Or do you think we'll see Fulmer involved in the coaching hire? Or do you think we'll see, do you think this is the end of Philip Fulmer? And again, to me, no. I think some way, somehow, we'll see Philip Fulmer. He'll be involved some way. He'll be doing something. And I just think that it's time. It's time for Fulmer to go. In fact, again, the difference between an athletic director and a coach, I always felt like Fulmer's job was to coach the coach. And he had the coach and Pruitt. And I guess he probably tried to coach him, but how well did that work? They ended up 3-7. In fact, women's basketball, and I know nobody really cares about women's basketball at the level that they care about UT football, but he could, I am pretty certain, I don't know this 100%, but if you know my background, you know that I have a little bit of insight into this. I'm pretty certain that he could have had Jeff Walls replace Holly Warlick if he really wanted him. And he didn't. And the women's basketball program at Tennessee is still mediocre. And Jeff Walls right now has the number one team in the country. So, you know, if Fulmer's on top of it, he's going to fix it. He's our man. He's our turn down the guy who has the number one program in the country. And, like, women's basketball should matter at Tennessee. They should be good every year. They have the resources. They have the history. They have the facilities. They should be good, just like they should be good at football. Maybe even better than they should be at football. And Fulmer just missed it. 615-737-1025. Again, John Adams, Knoxville News Sentinel. He'll join us at 4:30. He says Fulmer's got to go. Got to go completely. Do you agree? Because that's not the tone that the Tennessee administration had yesterday. So we'll get to that. 615-737-1025. Mark Howard is with me. We are live from the wholesaling studio powered by RumbleOn.com. It is Stillman & Company right here, delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 1025, the game.
Philip and I also discussed the need to search for a new head coach as soon as possible. In the course of that discussion, Philip concluded he thought it best and suggested that a new coach and a new athletic director form a partnership that could provide long-term stability and success for our football program. And he suggested that I hire a new athletics director to select the new head football coach. As you know, Philip came out of retirement to take his current position and never intended for it to be long-term. Philip has offered to bridge the gap and stay in his position until a new athletic director is ready to take over. And you will hear more from him in a moment. But I do want to emphasize this. Philip Fulmer is demonstrating why he's a legend at UT. Once again, agreeing to serve the university he loves. And I want to thank him and for his family's commitment to the University of Tennessee. And I also want to underscore there is no allegation, nor has anything been said that suggested that Philip was in any way involved or knew anything about any of this. I have relied on Philip's counsel since the day I arrived, and I will continue to rely on his assistance and advice even after he retires as athletic director. His sterling reputation in college athletics and his knowledge will be assets to us, to me, as these next two searches proceed.
That right there, Beverly Davenport, or Beverly Davenport, Donde Plowman, there's so many of them, Mark Howard, that it's hard to keep track, honestly. I mean, at the University of Tennessee, you got to worry about everybody. There she was right there, kissing the rings of Philip Fulmer. And they could say Fulmer's retiring, and we could pretend like he's gone, gone, gone. But you heard right there, I will be leaning heavily on Philip. I have leaned heavily on Philip. Philip, 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 Philip. Not sure how I feel about that. Speaking of the press conference yesterday, Jimmy Himes, legendary radio host in Knoxville, covers the Vols really, really well. Jimmy Himes was on our midday show today. And Jimmy was asked about Philip yesterday at the press conference. Here's what Jimmy Himes said.
To me, in my opinion, the person that came off looking the best was Chancellor Plowman. You got Philip Fulmer, when asked about part of the Pruitt legacy, he says, well, he did a good job recruiting. Well, you just fired the guy for recruiting violations. You know, that's kind of an unfortunate thing to say. And then you got Randy Boyd up there talking to Fulmer. We're just as proud of you as we were in 1998. Well, that's the guy that hired the guy that cheated and you fired. So Tennessee right now is dysfunctional. It is. Now, who can get this straightened out? I don't know.
And that's where we go from here. Mark, do you have a thought or do you want to go to the phones?
No, I agree. And I think you said it before, so I don't want to steal your thunder. But
that's fine.
Yeah, with Fulmer and people around the school, there's a tendency to do a lot of ring kissing. And that's essentially what Randy Boyd was doing. You know, like I said, time will tell, and you know we'll see how history judges Fulmer. But right now, his turn as athletic director does not look very good.
Let's go to your phones. As promised, 615-737-1025. Phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Doug is up next on T. Martin. Thank you for calling. And you go ahead, Doug.
Hey, guys. I think the press conference yesterday and whatever's being said today, all of that in relation to Phil Foreman was just to protect his legendary status. You know, I'm a fan. But everywhere that you see improprieties in a coach, the AD's always connected. You know, just like Jimmy Himes said, he's the one that hired the guy that was cheating. But he's coming out like a savior. And my question is, I don't know if anybody's heard anything about T. Martin's name connected to all this. I never thought he was ready to come back. I didn't want him to come back to this cesspool of Pruitt, but he did. And I think it just messed up his chances of ever being a coach or ever coming back to UT. So now he's tied up in this mess. Will he ever be a ball for life with respect? Nobody's kissing his ring. He's basically going to be gone. So what are we doing to protect a championship quarterback's legacy? Anybody doing anything about that, or is that behind the scenes? I'm just concerned. If the same efforts would be taken for T. Martin, who I respect, as they were taken yesterday for, you know, licking the shoes and shining the ring of Phil Fulmer. Nothing against what he's done. But when an AD is the one who got hired the coach, his name's always connected to every other organization. Why not here?
Thank you for your call, Doug. Mark, I would argue that nobody is throwing T. Martin under the bus, so there would be no reason to kiss the rings of T. Martin. But I do think there has been a humongous fall from grace for T. Martin over the last 3 or 4 years when he was kind of a coaching candidate for this job and was a hot coach at USC, and now he's just one of the guys on the staff at UT.
Well, I would argue that he was never a serious candidate, that the only reason why his name, you know, was up there was because a lot of former players thought that he should be head coach, which, again, you know, don't talk to former players about who should be the head coach, because their perspective is, you know, is clouded a little bit. And T has proven to be a pretty good recruiter and a good position coach. But, you know, again, you're right. You know, this was sort of a demotion for him from what he was doing at Southern Cal, where he, you know, was sort of the offensive coordinator. But you never know. I mean, T. Martin could go somewhere else. The program wins, he gets promoted, and he eventually becomes a head coach. So if he is truly head coaching material, then hopefully that will manifest itself. And he's still got a lot of career left. You know, sometimes you don't get a chance, and it's unfair. I always thought Kippy Brown deserved a better chance to be a head coach and never really got it. You hope the landscape is a little bit different for people of color, but that's a whole different argument. But as far as T is concerned, I don't think he's going to walk away from this damaged.
I don't think he's going to walk away damaged, but 3 years ago he was an offensive, and to your point, he wasn't really the offensive coordinator, but he was kind of that was his title at Southern Cal. And it was like, hey, if I'm leaving Southern Cal to go to Tennessee, it's going to be the head coach. And then 2-3 years later, he's back as wide receivers coach. And I'm not sure many people talk about him as a hot up and coming coach, but to your point, if he goes to Clemson, which I wouldn't rule out, or something like that, and they win, then all of a sudden he's right back into the hot coach discussion. So I'm not sure there's anything special or surprising about any of that. Matt texts the text line and says, Peyton Manning's second coming will resurrect Tennessee. That's the only hope we have. Mark, to that point, I think Bruce Feldman yesterday reported from The Athletic that Peyton is going to be incredibly involved and will have a lot of input in this coaching search. You just said don't listen to former players. How do you feel about the Peyton Manning angle of all of this?
I don't mind Peyton Manning sitting in and having an opinion. I just don't know if I want him, you know, picking the coach. But, you know, Peyton's a smart guy. Smart guy. And knows, you know, has forgotten more football than I'll ever know. So, but all I'm saying is that you don't necessarily need an alum, even a famous alum, you know, to make the choice. They like keeping Peyton in the loop. It's always good to have a good relationship with your high-profile alums. So again, it never hurts to allow Peyton to give his opinion, but you know, let's not get too crazy as far as how much you know, how much gravitas he's going to have in this process.
Texture to the text line says, how much better would the Vols have been if they had waited a year, fired Pruitt after that, and then gone looking for a coach?
It's a great question. And that's the problem sometimes. And I think a lot of people felt like had Pruitt, you know, gone through, you know, a 6-6 season, yeah, they could have fired him, cheaper buyout, all that. It's a great question. I think they had eyes at other coaches and just decided that he couldn't do the job. And believe me, last year I thought his coaching stock plummeted. It really did. I was shocked at just how bad that team was, how bad it was in the second half, how they weren't even close in games. I mean, not even close. The Kentucky game was a huge wake-up call. You know, the second half of the Georgia game,
Arkansas.
And then it just went, yeah, it just went downhill after that. So they weren't even in the second tier of SEC teams last
year. I thought the Arkansas game was the year. One where you knew.
And the fact they went, you know, the fact that they were going to go to a bowl was like embarrassing.
They got out of that bowl as soon as they could. They had to. John Adams, Knoxville News Sentinel, says it's time for Fulmer to go. The question, though, where does UT go from here? We'll ask him coming up next. 615-737-1025. Mark Howard is with me. Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. And, of course, it is ESPN 1025, the game. Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. Mark Howard, Jarrett Stillman. And, again, the news in Knoxville. The news cycle not moving as fast as the last coaching search athletic director debacle. But I say that and I would say careful for what we all wish for. John Adams writes in the Knoxville News Sentinel, Philip Fulmer's got to go, that it's time for him to essentially, well, I shouldn't say essentially, it's just time for him to go. It's time for him to be away from the football field and for him to stop being paid by the university. And John Adams from the Knoxville News Sentinel joins us now. So, John, I read your piece about, you know, hey, it's time for Fulmer to go. My question for you, do you think he actually will go this time?
That's a tough one. All logic would dictate that, but as an emailer wrote me today, Philip Fulmer will never go away. Haunting words to some fans, but yeah, there's this sense he will get back in there at some point. Maybe they'll hire him to guard the 1998 National Championship trophy.
What are you hearing about the reasons that they fired Jeremy Pruitt? Not why they actually fired him, but the four cause reasons. Because, you know, we've played the Dan Patrick clip, and Tennessee is you know, vehemently denied that. What do we think was so bad? And had it been 7-3 and not 3-7, how different would all of this have been?
Oh, I think with what they're uncovered, I mean, I can't address them specifically, but I know what their chancellor said. I mean, you don't go medieval on your own athletic department unless there are severe violations. And obviously they are severe, or we wouldn't be where we are right now. Speaking of the Tennessee general populace, I mean, it's just I think there were very serious violations in recruiting. Tennessee was obviously very sloppy. There's nothing foreign about cheating in the SEC. You know, it's a long-standing venture, but you got to be careful about it. And so you could have fired Jeremy Pruitt for his record. He's 16-19. That warranted firing to me. But I think when they uncovered all these violations and just the breadth of them, they decided not to just fire him, but to fire him for cause. I feel like they did the right thing. I don't think they have much of a choice.
Adams, the sports columnist for the Knoxville News Sentinel. John, it's Mark Howard. Wanted to ask you, with all that Randy Boyd said, and even the chancellor, do you think Hugh Freeze is totally off the table?
I think Hugh Freeze was off the table anyway. I thought he was the best possible candidate by far, and I think he would have taken the job. But I think Tennessee just wasn't interested in him because of his history. I don't think you're – in college football, you aren't hiring stinks. So he's paid for his mistakes. He was out of football for a while. He's a really good coach. He's won wherever he's been. He's done quick fixes and turned programs around. He's excellent offensively. Nick Saban tried to hire him as an offensive coordinator. So to me, he would be the best hire. However, when you're firing one coach for NCAA violations, to hire another one with a history of NCAA violations, that's pretty much impossible now. But I don't think Tennessee would have hired Hugh Freeze anyway.
Do you agree with the notion your colleague Andy Staples of The Athletic believes that Tennessee is the toughest college football job in America because of the fan base, because of the expectation level, and because of the recent history?
I don't know if it's the toughest job. I think it is. It is challenging, but I also think you have a lot of assets. I mean, you talk about the fan base. Win more games, and your fan base will become a huge asset. You know, I was covering this program as a columnist back in the 90s when Tennessee was in its glory days. There is tremendous passion for fans here, but to say, you know, the passion for the fan base and for wanting to be successful, you have that at all the best programs, too. To me, Tennessee's main problem has been its leadership. Not just the past couple of years. I'm talking about double-figure years, 10, 12 years. And I'm not talking about necessarily just coaches. I'm talking about presidents and chancellors who have made a series of awful hires in coaches, bad decisions, and not just in football, but it's kind of peaked. Well, peaked, or you could say bottomed out now with Tennessee. I don't think it could get any worse, but I've said that before, and it did get worse. But I do think with Randy Boyd as president of the UT system, with Donde Plowman the chancellor, that tandem is an upgrade over some of the nut jobs they've had in those positions in the past. Randy Boyd is a very successful businessman. Donde Plowman seems to be, she's not a nutty professor despite her academic background, but you look at some of the clowns that Tennessee's had in these positions in the past, you can understand why it's in the situation it is now. Philip Fulmer never should have been hired as athletic director, and he's the one that hired Jeremy Pruitt. Jeremy Pruitt should have never been hired as coach, but those are only the most recent examples, but you can go further back and there are all kinds of examples.
John Adams, Knoxville News Sentinel, is our guest. So where do you think Tennessee does go from here? They talked about the athletic director search, and they want to have the athletic director, but in the meantime, with Kevin Steele running it, do you think that the Vols are ready to punt on 2021 and have Steele run the show and kind of focus on hitting the next coaching cycle, or do you think we'll see an AD coach hire here in the very near future?
I think it'll just depend if Tennessee can hire somebody it deems competent. There will be some people that are scared of this job. Others maybe not. I think what's going to be a key factor in this is the contract. And I'm always opposed to giving big buyout packages to guys who really haven't done enough to warrant them. I mean, you give a monstrous buyout package to a Nick Saban or Urban Meyer because you're begging them to come run your football program. The kind of people Tennessee has hired, Butch Jones, Derek Dooley, now Jeremy Pruitt, why do you need to give them a big buyout? They wouldn't have turned down the job if they hadn't got a big buyout. But now a buyout is going to be crucial because The next coach will take more time. He will need more time to rebuild, because chances are you will have scholarship reductions as imposed by the NCAA. One thing that might make it not so bad, though, are transfers. We're getting ready to go into an even wilder era of transfers in college football, and that could help Tennessee in this situation.
John, do you think it's possible that Kevin Steele is the coach in 2021, and they step back and take their time on this?
Well, I think it's possible Kevin Steele's the coach, yeah. But I can't imagine Tennessee hiring Kevin Steele for 1 year and say, well, he's our interim coach for one season. You can't do that. You'd have to make him the head coach. If Tennessee has no other – if it can't hire anybody that it considers good enough to be successful at Tennessee, then Kevin Steele, I guess, is its fallback. I mean, he lost about nine games a year when he was at Baylor many years ago. That's his only head coach experience. But he is a good defense coordinator. He's been around the league. He's considered a good recruiter, has a good personality, can smooth with the boosters well. So, yeah, I mean, he would certainly be an option, but I just can't imagine Tennessee going beyond, you know, going into this next season without a permanent head coach, because you're recruiting way in advance now.
Yeah,
and these guys need to know who's going to be their coach. That to me just wouldn't work. I just think if they make Kevin Steele the coach, I mean, he's going to have to be the coach for. He's going to get a, I don't know, 4 or 5 year contract, and you go from there.
John Adams is with us, Knoxville News Sentinel. John, how much damage do you think the Vols have done to the program with not only this hiring and firing, but going all the way back to the drama with Beverly Davenport and John Curry and Greg Schiano and Fulmer and Pruitt, and how much total damage do you think that has done to the program in the last 3 years?
Well, let's go back to the 2017 coaching search. John Curry was the athletic director. He was struggling. It was a hiring of Greg Schiano. And then Tennessee relented to the response on Twitter. And I wasn't in favor of hiring Greg Schiano. But if you are a leader of a university or a business or whatever, you can't just say, oh, well, people don't like it. Let's don't do it. We better go look for somebody else. That was the weakest move ever. I'm not saying he should have been hired, but once you hired him, you can't respond in that manner to the reaction of it. I don't think the current chancellor, Donde Plowman, would do that. I think she has enough confidence in her ability. She's sure enough of herself that if she made that decision, she'd stick with it. But see, if you go back to then, you have Philip Fulmer in there, special advisor to the president. Joe DiPietro created that position for him. It's almost as though Fulmer does Jedi mind tricks on these people. So they go, he's right there now. And when the search doesn't go well, I'm sure he went to Beverly Davenport, who's kind of a nutty administrator to begin with. He goes to her and says, well, look, I can help, you know, and she probably welcomed his help. Next thing you know, Curry's fired and Fulmer's hired as AD. If John Curry had been left to pursue his search, as misguided as it seemed to be for so many days, Tennessee would be better off now than compared to what happened. Fulmer becomes AD. He had no experience as an AD, had no business being hired as an AD. He still wants to pretend to be a coach. So he's hired, and then he hires a guy who has no experience as a head coach. Yeah, Jeremy Pruitt has a good record as a defensive coordinator, but there was nothing to suggest that he could handle everything with that, you know, that a head coaching position entailed in the SEC and in a program as high profile as Tennessee. And Heck, he didn't even help the defense. So those decisions, that's 3 years ago, and you see where Tennessee is now. But I still contend that if John Curry would have been, if he would have been allowed to continue his search, he was talking to Mike Leach. Mike Leach, I think, would have taken the job. He took the Mississippi State job. He obviously was ready for change. He'd been at Washington State for a long time. And Tennessee would have been better off with Mike Leach than they are with Jeremy Pruitt, certainly.
Where do you think they're going as far as athletics director? David Blackburn, I thought, was a pretty good candidate going into the last search, but he didn't get it. So who do you like in this field?
I thought David Blackburn was a very good candidate, but things didn't work out with that. I think you have we had a hot board list of guys, about a dozen guys. You might think about guys like John Gilbert, who has been here as an assistant AD before, worked with the basketball program. The UAB at Ingram, I think is his last name, the UAB at athletic director, has Tennessee connections. I can't remember all these names, but I think Donde Plowman, the chancellor, will make the decision. We'll have the final say in this. John Gilbert's an AD at East Carolina now, so he does have athletic director's experience, not as a school as big as this one, but he does have Tennessee ties. It's not like when you start looking for an AD, it's not like looking at a football coach. ADs don't have one loss records.
Yeah.
you just look at them and say, well, he's got connections to your university, or he's managing a smaller program, smaller athletic department somewhere else. But one thing about this job that I'm not sure people on the outside understand, there is so much media coverage and so much, you alluded to this before with Andy Staples' story, there is so much attention paid to Tennessee football. I mean, in our coverage here and with the Tennessee Network, which includes the Tennessean, the commercial appeal in Memphis, our paper, Gannett owns a half a dozen or so papers in Tennessee. I mean, the biggest draw is Tennessee football. It's bigger than the Tennessee Titans. And the media coverage is extensive. I mean, they'll give a media pass to pretty much anybody that shows up. So you look at that, and I think people that aren't familiar with the program, when they come here, they could come from an NFL market and come here and then be, wow, there are more media covering this team than there were the pro team I was with. But that's just the way it is. And so it's a very high-profile position, and much is expected. I do think the expectations have diminished. Certainly the being on the brink of NCAA probation will further diminish those expectations. But there's still Tennessee fans think their program should be pretty good. And there are reasons that it should, but we just haven't seen that recently.
John Adams, Knoxville News Sentinel, as always. John, thank you so much, and we'll continue to read your work. And we'll see what goes on in Knoxville. John, appreciate it.
Take care, guys.
Yep, John Adams, Knoxville News Sentinel, joining us on the program. Mark, there was one thing. John kind of mentioned it a little bit, but I'm a little surprised, and I wonder if this is a bad sign for Tennessee athletics. We'll hit that coming up next. Mark Howard's with me. Stillman & Company, delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stillman & Company, Mark Howard is with me. Tennessee looking for a coach, also looking for an athletic director. Mark, I got to tell you something I was stunned by. Tennessee and a coaching search is obviously a very, very big deal. And I've referenced this twice already today, but I will reference it one other time. When Johnny Majors retired, News Channel 5, who Mark was employed by at the time, did a special, like I'm sure a lot of people around the state did, of, you know, Johnny Majors is out. And, Mark, I believe you were in the studio and Hope Hines was in Knoxville, but it may have been the other way around. And that is still to this day on YouTube. That's how much attention it got locally. Now, I'm sure across the country it got a ton of attention as well. But normally, when Tennessee has a coaching search, it is a big topic that is discussed nationally. And, Mark, I watched ESPN yesterday. I watched Get Up this morning. I watched First Take this morning. I watched SportsCenter yesterday. I watched SportsCenter today. Do you want to know how much ESPN, now not the SEC network, but do you not want to know how much ESPN discussion I found on the UT Vols coaching search?
Zero.
This, little bit more. This was it on Pardon the Interruption yesterday. Wilbon wasn't even in, so it was Kornheiser and Pablo Torre. Here's what they said.
Tennessee fired Jeremy Pruitt. Does that make sense to you?
Apparently, giant penalties are coming from the NCAA, so that makes sense. Phil Fulmer, the AD, is retiring, so that makes sense, too. Peyton Manning may play a role. That's weird to me, but Gonzaga beat St. Mary's to move to 14-0, Tony.
Gonzaga basketball! Let's just move right along. Mark, are you as stunned as I am at the lack of national attention this UT story has gotten, and at least ESPN attention? And do you think that that's a sign that UT football coaching searches have basically become the college football version of the boy who cried wolf?
Well, maybe not that, but it doesn't surprise me because Tennessee hasn't been relevant in a as a program for a long time. You know, maybe for 5 minutes 2 years ago, but that's really it. I just don't see it. And I understand. And this is why Tennessee fans get upset. But on a national level, they're just regarded as maybe above average as a program. Barely top 25. And when you get that, you don't get talked about a lot. It just doesn't happen. We blew it out when they had the coaching change on News Channel 5. I mean, Johnny Majors was a Tennessee icon. And, yeah, we actually had hope in Memphis because I believe Tennessee was playing in the Liberty Bowl. Something was going on there. But anyway, Majors getting fired or getting retired was a huge deal. Tennessee replacing a football coach now, pretty much routine, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, but see, that's kind of the problem, right? Like, if the Dallas Cowboys I shouldn't say they replace coaches all the time because Jerry held on to Jason Garrett for forever. But if the Dallas Cowboys sniff something, it's, you know, ESPN for 5 hours. Ezekiel Elliott tweeted today, what do we think? Let's get the panel in. And I just wonder, like, if Notre Dame had a football coach opening, I think that that would get a lot of attention on ESPN. If Alabama had an opening, or if Clemson had an opening, or again, elite programs, if they had an opening, I think it would get a lot of attention, even if it's a place that's not as sexy. And I know LSU just won a title, but I feel like that would get more attention. I'm with you that Tennessee fans don't want to admit it, but they're just not relevant nationally. And that's the problem. Like, fans 3 years ago boycotted Greg Schiano's hire because they didn't think that that was befitting of what Tennessee football should have. But I'm saying, look in the mirror. This is what you are.
Yeah, it certainly is time for a reality check. And one of the long shots for the Tennessee job, I don't think he would have gotten it, but somebody who has a Tennessee background, Doug Marrone, looks like he's headed to Alabama as offensive line coach. They're getting a really good offensive line coach, but an interesting move for Doug and Helen Marrone and their family. And if he gets it, you know, good for them. He'll enjoy his time in Tuscaloosa. But getting back to what you're saying, Jared, Tennessee hasn't been relevant in so long. And of course it kills Tennessee fans because they want to be at least on equal footing with Georgia fans and Florida fans. And that's just not happening. It's like for the longest time, Vandy fans always called Tennessee its biggest rival. And for Tennessee, Vanderbilt was the school they didn't want to lose to. until they did. So we know. I mean, the rivalries that, that Tennessee has with Alabama, Georgia, and Florida have been one-sided the last 3 years, not even close. So that sort of gives you an insight into how far the program has fallen.
Okay. I want to take. I want to get to your phone, 615-737-1025. I also want to get to what Paul Feinbaum said. And I know a lot of people don't like Paul Feinbaum, but I also know that a lot of people don't like me. So I just kind of understand it. Paul Feinbaum is the voice of of college football in the SEC on ESPN, whether you like it or not.
And he's a Tennessee also alum.
Yeah, exactly. He is a Tennessee grad. And I want to get to what Feinbaum said, because I think it's a fair point, and we'll do that coming up next. 615-737-1025. If you want to weigh in, again, the national media, I shouldn't say the national media because Dan Patrick certainly talked about it, but ESPN really ignored the Tennessee news yesterday, and I think that is a bad sign. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical will not ignore any problems you may have. I know this for a fact because I am a Hiller customer, and that's why I love Hiller. Hiller takes great care of my home. They can take great care of you as well. And they're celebrating the new year with exciting new financing specials. Make no payments and pay no interest over the next 12 months on any new whole home generator, any new tankless water heater, or select new HVAC systems. Take advantage of these great financing deals while you can, because these deals are only available until the end of the month. So schedule today. They've got more specials online at happyhiller.com. As always, Hiller says, happy you'll be, or the service is free. They are taking every precaution possible to keep customers safe in their homes with gloves, masks, social distancing, digital payments, and more. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, proud supporters of the Volunteers through thick and thin and the Predators. Hiller, my guys, call the Happy Face Truck today.